Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. One of the missions of the Christian Research Institute is to help you fall in love with the Word of God all over again. And so we're going through Matthew's Gospel. And hopefully, as we went through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you had a sense of how precious God's Word is, how much we ought to meditate on the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, and then mine the Word of God for all its substantial worth. Think back as we talked about the Beatitudes, about how we are called to be salt and light, how Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill the law. Jesus did what we could never do. And then Jesus gives us that triple braided cord, a cord by which we are to govern our lives, spiritual disciplines that are transformational, prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and then how Jesus teaches us to place our focus not on those treasures that we can accumulate during our earthly sojourn, but rather to place our treasure in heaven, for where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Jesus teaches us not to judge self-righteously, but rather, when we judge, to make a right judgment. He tells us about the wide and the narrow gates, the gates that lead to what is eternal, this life but a drop in the ocean of eternity. Then Jesus tells us about false prophets and how we are to discern the difference between the real McCoy and a false prophet. And he ends that sermon by telling us to build our foundation on a rock. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the winds blow and beat against that house, and it falls with a great crash." And with those words, Jesus ends the sermon on the mount and leaves his hearers absolutely amazed at his teaching. And as they were amazed at his teaching, we likewise must be amazed at his teaching, and not only at his teaching, but what he demonstrated during his earthly sojourn, for he did what no one else can do. And so today we begin in chapter 8 with three miracles, the first of which is healing a man of leprosy. This is the first of three extraordinary miracles. And in those miracles, The deity of Jesus is revealed. In this first miracle chronicled by St. Matthew, in the 8th chapter, there's a leper whose fingers and toes have disappeared, whose body is covered with sores. Try to picture that for a moment. And that man with leprosy is touched by the hand of Jesus and is immediately cured of his dread disease. Here's the account. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt down before him and said, "Lord, if you were willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cured. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded, because it will be a testimony to them." You might recall from the Old Testament that touching a person with leprosy was absolutely forbidden. And thus, by touching the leper, Jesus demonstrated that he was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, that he was greater than Moses, greater than the Mosaic law, greater than the one perceived by the priests to be the quintessential man, a man ruling over his passions, a man having a share in the cosmic commandments of God, a man deemed worthy of divine rank because he was a friend of God, a mediator between the human and the divine, a man explicitly called a God unto Pharaoh, a man whose face shone after talking with God, a man who in life was transformed by the energies of God on Mount Sinai, and in life after life was an eyewitness to the dazzling transfiguration of Christ on Mount Tabor. A man who is, well, the earnest of all who with unveiled faces will behold the glory of the Lord. Those even now being transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. By showing himself to the priest, the leper provides the priest with proof that Messiah is the new Moses, a Moses who breaks into history and perfectly unites humanity and divinity within himself. The new Moses who was destined to carry his beloved bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. The priest now has a decision to make. Is he going to continue to conduct himself under the law of Moses or the law of the new Moses, the law of Messiah? And the proof was standing directly in front of him. In other words, he had no excuse. He was faced with the reality that Messiah, that Christ, could do what only God can do. That Christ is not subject to the law, but rather that Christ presides over temple, priest, and sacrifice. That he is indeed the temple, that he is our high priest and that he is the ultimate sacrifice that takes away the sin and suffering of the world. We all have that same decision to make. Will we live supernaturally or will we live simply naturally? Will we recognize Christ or will we capitulate to the culture? This is the decision that Christ places in front of each one of us, just as he placed that decision in front of the priest to whom the leper demonstrated that Jesus is the new Moses. We'll be right back after the break and continuing through the miracles of Christ in Matthew 8.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians often encounter people who don't quite doubt the existence of God, they are just apathetic about him. In the new book, Apatheism, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to faithfully display the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences, as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was thinking during the break that one of the books that has been so incredibly helpful to me and to many others when it comes to having a proper perspective on sickness, suffering, and the healing that Jesus Christ can bring is a book that is titled The Theology of Illness. This book available for all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. If you haven't read the book, again, The Theology of Illness by Jean-Claude Larche, you want to get a copy of this book and read it. There's a short passage here I want to draw your attention to. It has to do with King Asa. In his 39th year, he had diseased feet. So this is the 39th year of Asa's reign. And this disease in his feet kept getting worse and worse, and yet he did not seek help from the Lord, but rather he sought help only from physicians. And then the text says he slept with his fathers. Origen draws the following lesson from this story. Those who have assumed piety resort to doctors by seeing them as servants of God, knowing that He is the one who gives medical science to mankind, just as He is the one who made the plants grow in the earth and who put other medicinal substances there. They know also that the art of the physician is in no way efficacious without the will of God. And I can tell you how easy it is to put faith in physicians rather than to put faith in the great physician. When I was going through cancer, you constantly meet with doctors. And after a while, you can put your hope in those doctors as opposed to recognizing that God supersedes all, that not a hair can fall from our heads without His permission. Just this Friday, I celebrated a birthday, perhaps the most important day of my life now, even more important than my regular birthday. Why? Because I am now 2 years old. I am now 2 years hence from the time of my transplant. I have a new immune system, a new blood system. And yes, that is a function of modern science, but it is also a function of God's providential care. He was the one who saw every single circumstance of my life and determined that He would give me more days on this planet. And then it's my decision to use those days in a way that lays up treasure in heaven rather than merely momentary passing fancies and pleasures. Again, this book is very significant. If you haven't read the book, it is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. As we continue through Matthew's gospel, we read about the faith of a centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him asking for help. "Lord," he said, My servant lies at home paralyzed in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I don't deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these words, he was astonished and said to those who were following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feet of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will feast with these patriarchs in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. The healing of the centurion's servant is a superlative testation to the reality that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. For as the centurion can have his orders executed at will, how much more can the omnipotent creator of all things cause the principles of the universe to bow, to lay prostrate at his command? In this extraordinary miracle, we ascertain at least two things. First, that a word from Jesus is sufficient to heal. That proximity to the centurion's servant is wholly unnecessary for the King of creation. Secondly, that the centurion's faith in Jesus was greater than what Jesus had found amongst his own people. Thus, says our Lord, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and they will take their places at the feast with Abram, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. By these words, Jesus underscores the transcendence of having faith in his person. For he's not only able to heal the infirm in this life, but he's able to invite them to the feast of the eternal kingdom. The subjects of the kingdom that disregard him, however, are going to be separate from him in this life and separated from him in the life that is to come. The separated are not annihilated. Rather, they are sustained in existence, albeit apart from God's goodness, from God's glory, and from God's grace. Here, Jesus also reminds us that both Jews and Gentiles will inherit the feast of eternity, that Abram is not the father of only a nation, but he is the father of many nations, that Jesus is the seed of Abram. This is precisely what St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3, that Jesus is the seed of Abraham, seed singular, not plural. But if we are found in Jesus, then we are heirs according to Abraham, heirs according to the promise. And that doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Greek. It has nothing to do with your nationality. It doesn't matter whether you are slave or free. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. You are an heir according to to the promise. When we continue next time, we'll be talking about how Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Yet another miracle that opens an avalanche of miracles. However, we won't get to that for another week or so because over the next few days, I have a special treat as I have one of the most exhilarating discussions with my son-in-law, Adam Pelser. He's a professor at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And we'll be discussing apologetics from many different perspectives, including from the perspective of emotion, because we're not just heads on a stick. See you tomorrow with that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care by Kyle Beshears. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-shaping outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
How can you share the gospel with someone who doesn't care? As Western culture becomes increasingly indifferent to questions of faith, diverted by secularism, comfort, and distraction, Christians today encounter many people who don't so much doubt the existence of a God, but are more or less apathetic about God. In fact, for the first time in human history, a vast number of individuals are not interested to ponder the existence of God. In Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, Kyle Beshears urges us to recapture the joy of our salvation and demonstrates how to reveal the love of Christ to apatheist friends and neighbors. To receive your copy of Apatheism, How We Share When They Don't Care, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.